The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 932. It's the 24th of November, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. KRS is ticker there. And Dave discusses their multiple new gold targets and also talks about their next milestone. Plus, I also have on Mark Gustafson, CEO of Challenger Acquisitions. That's C-H-A-L. And Mark answers lots of questions, also discusses their current strategy. Plus, I also have on Martin Eales, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths. That's RBW ticker. And Martin discusses the significant exploration upside that exists at Gagara, which has been confirmed by an airborne magnetic survey. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. KRS is ticker there. Dave, thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure, Justin.
Now, I learned that you've just done a sort of your new presentation, and you've stood up in front of a couple of people there, and it's probably more than a couple of people, but you've presented that. Is that all right?
Yep, we had a little get-together last night in London, in here for a couple of days, and then off next week to North America to let the world know about what we're doing down in the Pilbara. So, we had a good night last night.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want to see that presentation, it's on the website, so I'll put a link to that in a bit. You've also had some news out about multiple new gold targets. Before we get into that, Dave, just for people listening, if they're new to the podcast or they're new to investing and they've not heard of your company, summarise it for them, if you could, please.
Certainly. So, Keras is a major shareholder in Calidus Resources, an ASX-listed gold developer. We've got the rights to around 730 million shares in that company, which makes us a major shareholder. That would give us just under 50% of the company. In addition to that, we have some manganese and cobalt assets in Togo. That's a bit on hold at the moment while we continue to wait for a license.
Excellent stuff. Well, okay, let's get those new gold targets. Take us through the detail, if you could, Dave.
There's some very clever things happening out on the ground in Australia. We've got CSIRO involved with their magic black boxes, having a look at various techniques to help us explore. I won't go into the terminology because I often get lost in it, but basically what it means is it's giving us the ability to rapidly and cost-effectively identify new targets, which is great for us, allows us to continue to grow the resource. Which, you know, we're aiming to have an upgrade on next month.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So, I mean, you say next month, so obviously this is before the end of the year, the resource upgrade, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very important to us because we get these performance shares, these shares that are allotted to us as Keras, but not yet issued. But, you know, if we get over 500,000 ounces of indicated resource, we get another 215-odd million shares, which, you know, at 4.6 cents a share is worth quite a bit of money.
Yeah. And what do you feel at the moment? I mean, it's hotting up, isn't it, the gold space down there?
Yeah, look, the Pilbara is where it's all happening at the moment, and that's one of the reasons for the trip to the North America. There's a lot of North American funds, you know, getting excited about what's happening down there. You know, Aussie's got the lowest cost of gold production going around. We've got some great ground, so it's a good place to be.
Yeah. And going forward, apart from the next major milestone, which is the resource upgrade, what's next on the horizon after that then, Dave?
Look, next year's all about drilling, adding to that resource, and then heading into pre-feas.
Wow, that's big gear then. Okay, well, Dave, if someone's listened to this and like the space you're in, but are not yet following the story, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please.
Certainly. So I think, number one, we do have the resource coming out next month. That will be a value add to Calidus and therefore Keras. That also unleashes the first lot of performance shares, all being equal, to Keras, and shows people that these performance shares are real and that they should be factored in their equations. And thirdly, plenty of news to come in the coming year.
Excellent, Dave. Good to get in contact with you. And like you say, you've got hopefully a big bit of news coming up before the end of the year, so no doubt we'll chat before Christmas. Thanks very much, Dave.
Absolutely. Cheers, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Mark Gustafson, Chief Executive Officer of Challenger Acquisitions. That's CHAL ticker. Mark, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, we almost haven't chatted for the entire of 2017. We had one chat at the start of the year, and now towards the end of the year. So it's been a long space in between. So it'll be nice to catch up on what's happening. But first and foremost, Mark, for people who are, say, new to this podcast or have not heard of your business, could you explain or summarize what it's all about, please?
Yeah, Challenger is a leisure and entertainment company that's focused on specific projects in that sector. And for example, we own three equity units in the New York Wheel that's being built as we speak. So we're focused on that sector in particular, and it's quite a broad sector, but we have those equity units in the New York Wheel, and we also have a recent investment in a film focused convention. So, you know, that's the sector we're focused on right now.
Yeah, okay, we'll get into that in a bit. Before we do, let's get personal here, Mark. So I've seen some people on social media chatting basically rumours and stuff. So I think, and I know you would like to sort of clear up this position, but there's been talk about your salary and your shareholding and all this. And explain, or dispel some of these rumours, if you could, please.
Will do, Justin. I think a lot of the shareholders have misunderstood some things. The idea of my share position, I currently own 2.115 million shares, and I've put about £250,000 into buying those shares. So my average cost is 12p. I would love to acquire additional shares. The issue there, of course, which everybody should recognize, is that based on the knowledge I have of the projects we're involved with and reviewing now, that would be insider trading. So of course I'm prohibited from doing that right now. But there's, aside from that, I would love to be acquiring additional shares and increasing my stake in Challenger. So I just wanted to, I don't want people to think that my not acquiring shares is a sign that I'm lacking confidence in the direction or where we're headed, because that's definitely not the case.
Okay.
My salary, Justin, I think a lot of people are a little confused on that. In February of this year, we reduced my salary to £1,000 per month. That's being accrued. It's not being paid in cash. So the last time I received a payment for compensation was the spring of 2016. So I just want our shareholders to know that, until we get a project sorted out here, I'm not being paid, and I think that's the way it should be until we get something accomplished here. But there's just been a little bit too much misinformation about that, so I wanted to clarify that first.
Yeah, to put it on the record. Okay, and let's go and move on to some of the projects now. So the New York Wheel, what's happening there at the moment, Mark?
Quite a bit, actually. The three main backers for it and largest shareholders are very committed to completing the project. We have no doubt in our minds that the New York Wheel is going to get complete. There's tremendous political and local support to finish the wheel. There's work being done through the subcontractors in the background that people don't see. And there's work being done to finalize an agreement with a new wheel contractor. So all of that's in progress. And there is a court action now that the New York Wheel company has taken against the previous wheels contractor. But we don't believe that has any impact whatsoever on the project. That'll just play itself out over time. And we just believe that as 2018 rolls along, people are going to start to see the wheel components starting to be assembled on site and the project moving forward. So we have the utmost confidence that the wheel is going to continue. And I think that's just going to get demonstrated here in the short term through some some additional announcements by the New York Wheel, and then we'll follow up. We're a completely separate company, and then we'll follow up with our own announcements on what's happening in the New York Wheel there too. But we'll follow their lead on that, and we look forward to some developments there in the short term.
Marvelous stuff. Okay, so on the early part of this month, you announced the launch of a unique film-focused convention. What is all this about, Mark? Can I explain this for us, please?
Sure, Justin. The best way to describe it is it's like a Comic-Con fan event. Mm-hmm. It will be London-based. And Justin, this was something that wasn't really on our radar screen over the summer into the fall. It came to us through our network in London, and we just thought it was a great little opportunity to get into a really specialized entertainment business that we think has loads of upside potential. What I can say right now, because the venue has been secured, the website's being set up. The owner of the event, she's got 20 years in event planning experience and management experience, and the dates are all set and everything else. So in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, we'll have a formal announcement out on that. But we just think that's a really nice a nice new start to another leg for Challenger.
Yeah, and so and you have supplied a loan to this convention, have you? How's that working?
We have. We've provided a loan to allow them to secure the venue. Mm-hmm. And move forward with that. And once people see the website and start to get an idea what it's like, I think they'll understand the kind of the popularity and the demand for these Comic-Con type fan events.
Yeah.
And we just think they're growing all over the world, and we're fortunate to be able to participate in it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I, you know, if social media is anything to judge it by, then they definitely get more popular, because I often see, you know, pictures shared and from all these kind of events. So either people are just, I'm just getting more aware of it, or there's more of them, and they are seem very popular. All right, so and what else is in the pipeline here, Mark, for Challenger Acquisitions? Anything else going on?
There is. We do have additional projects under review. There's the five that we talked about in our recent update, two of them we have since declined. That leaves at least three major projects, any one of which would significantly change Challenger. We're actively pursuing all three of those. And just like this past summer where I thought we did have a project moving forward, but it didn't move forward because of the price tag on it. It was about five times more than what we were willing to pay. You just never know, Justin. So we're working on multiple projects. These last three we do really like, and we'd love to proceed with one of them. But the timing and the likelihood of completing them is unknown at this point. But my job is just to push hard on these and try and get a project in the door that we can, you know, we can build and rebuild Challenger around, and we're working hard at that.
Excellent stuff. All right, Mark. Well, if anyone's listening to this right now and likes the sound of this and what you're doing here, but are not yet following the story on Vox Markets here, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please.
The three reasons I can think of right now would be our investment and exposure to the New York Wheel. Given the success of the London Eye, we think the New York Wheel is going to be just as successful. So we're very very upbeat about the long term prospects there from that investment. The second point would be the film focused convention, that Comic-Con type fan event. We're pretty excited that came to us. So that's something I think that people are going to hear more about here in the future. And the third thing is, of course, we're going to push hard to get one of these major projects going with Challenger. So we're going to push hard in the short term and hopefully get one of those projects going. That's my mission for now.
Excellent, Mark. Good to chat to you. And hopefully it won't be as long until we chat next time. So I look forward to that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Martin Eales, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths. That's RBW ticker. Martin, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Good to speak to you, Justin.
Now, you've had some significant exploration news out, and we'll get to that in a bit of detail within that. Before we do, Martin, someone's listening right now, and they're brand new to the podcast. They're a new investor, and obviously they've not heard of you yourself there. Explain, summarize the business to them, if you could, please.
Okay. Well, Rainbow is operating the only producing rare earth mine in Africa. It's one of only two operating mines outside of China, mining rare earths. Now, rare earths are used for a whole host of industrial uses and, most importantly, green technologies. Certain of the rare earths are going to be a key component of the motors and electric vehicles and the drives in wind turbines. So we're very focused on the move to green technology.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's a big, hot sector, of course, because every pretty much, you know, government corporation are standing by now, going towards electric vehicles, and so we can see this, you know, relentless demand that's going to be ramped up next few years. So let's talk about the news. Significant exploration upside at Gakara. Explain this, please, if you could, Martin.
Yes, Justin, it was yesterday morning we put this out, and really it's part of our exploration strategy that we have been talking about all year, but the results have just come through, which was an airborne helicopter magnetic survey. We flew over the whole of our exploration license area in Burundi, and what it has identified are what's called four anomalies which could be indicative of carbonatites. Now, for those who know about diamond mining, diamonds are typically hosted in what's called a pipe, a kimberlite pipe. Mm-hmm. These are similar pipes in geological formations that will possibly be in the source of our rare earth veins. Now, why is that important? Because if it's a big mineralized mass, it's going to be a lot easier to mine than vein material, much larger, and could be the source of many, many thousands of tons of rare earths going forward. So it's hugely exciting. Obviously, there's more work to do. What it could also enable us to do is do a more focused drill campaign. And for those who don't know us, we've actually got this far without drilling a single hole in Burundi because of the open access to the veins. They're all at surface. But the model depths of these anomalies are only 20 to 67 meters down to start. So it's not far to drill. And it's certainly now part of our near-term strategy to drill these anomalies and find out what they are.
Wow, yeah, it's nice. And of course, you are going to be producing and selling soon. So when's first targeted production sales, Martin?
Well, we've consistently told the market that since our IPO in January this year that we were targeting first production and sales by the end of 2017. It's getting nearer, and at the end of the announcement we put out yesterday morning, we reassured the market that we're very close to doing that. The whole team is focused on making sure that can happen. Don't forget, this is going to be the first export of rare earth minerals from Burundi in nearly 40 years. So there's a few T's to cross and I's to dot in terms of the exportation process, but we're working very closely with the government of Burundi to ensure it all happens efficiently, and hopefully in the very near future before the end of the year.
Excellent stuff. And as far as the exploration campaign, are you still drilling at the moment? Are you drilling more, or what's happening? When is that going on, continuing?
Well, we haven't started yet, so it's going to be part of the plan next year. We've always said that when the mine is up and running, from our cash flows, we'll keep funding exploration in order to refill the hopper in terms of the future areas to be mined. So that's all to come probably next year as the company grows and ramps up sales and funds allow.
Excellent. And of course, that's what the market likes to hear, you know, having cash from sales than exploration rather than, you know, continually going back to the market. That's a very nice sort of mix you've got there. So it's a very exciting year. I mean, obviously, you're looking forward to 2018.
Very much so.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, Martin, if someone's listening to this right now and likes the sound of where this story is going, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Rare earths are increasingly going to be in demand for green technologies, and the supply is limited. Don't forget, we're the only producing mine in Africa, one of only two outside of China. We are fully funded to first production. Sales are imminent, and we have a very high value, limited supply product.
Excellent stuff. Martin, thanks very much for coming on, and no doubt we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Vesarion, VRS. At four, Nostraterra, NTOG. At three, Alba Mineral Resources, ALBA. At two, Blur Group. Looked at the chart with Nicola earlier on with those, BLUR. And number one is Angus Energy, ANGS. Okay, top five most liked RSs are as follows. At 5, Regency Mines, update on metallurgical coal investment. At 4, Vast Resources, open offer to raise $1.23 million. At 3, it's Iron Ridge Resources, Australia's Monagulbi and May Queen project update. At 2, Asia Met Resources, appointment of James Dio at CFO. And number 1 most liked RNS was from SDX Energy at spud of KSR-16 development well in Morocco. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.